Good afternoon. Today is Monday, October the 15th, 289th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the bank dude, John Dalby. Hey, guy.
Hey, it's good.
Hey, you got the memo.
Yeah.
You got both memos. This is cool.
I'm here talking to the radio dude.
That's right. Well, we both got the same color pants.
Brown shoes.
Same shoes. I'm not going to go any deeper than that.
Yeah. I have a blue shirt on, though.
Yeah. And the gray hair part, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're both.
Well, I have hair.
Yeah. Well, I got it on my, just this gravity has struck. It just kind of sunk a little bit.
You outgrew your hairline, right?
That's right. Yes. Thanks for noticing. Federal Reserve Board. Boy, you know, when I think of exciting things, that's right up there.
Let's see if we can look at practical applications to your daily lives.
As seen through the lens of the Federal Reserve Board, we'll find out how exciting this truly is when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby, president of Redwood Capital Bank. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Matthew Adams. Quote, "There's no such thing as a self-made person. Everyone who has ever done a kind deed for us or spoken one word of encouragement to us has entered into the makeup of our character and our thoughts, as well as our successes." I don't think anybody would argue that perspective of that initial statement, self-made person, as contrasted to what we've been hearing about in the, what, the last 2 months?
That what, that you didn't build it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was probably inappropriate.
I don't know.
But
we're pretty
safe. You know, when I read that quote, I thought, you know, it really speaks to what we can do and influence other people's lives. The small things that we do have an impact on other people.
Mentoring. Formally Mentoring, or informally.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Or even speaking an encouraging word when somebody's, you know, needs it. And anyway. I thought it was a good quote.
What a guy. What a guy. So now you're promising that the Federal Reserve Board is an exciting topic.
Well,
and more than educating, we're going to be uplifting and engaging and entertaining.
Yeah, well, hopefully,
okay.
Hopefully we'll get some practical things out of this that say, okay, I might do this or this different because of what the Federal Reserve Board is doing.
Our standards are now set. The expectations are there. It's your turn.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to make sure that we get out on break on time because that's my job.
Okay. Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve Board is doing some things that it has never done before. First of all, it's being more transparent than it has been in the past. Two, it has come out and said exactly what it is that their targets are economically. And then lastly, has made pledges as to when they will and will not take action.
So just to be the backwards guy, let's start with the last one first, shall we?
Okay.
Pledges to say. Now, that just doesn't quite seem to make a whole lot of sense, considering how we try to legislate morals and morality and personal behavior. I'm thinking sin tax on cigarettes. Okay. We balance our budget based on X number of cigarettes being sold. Lo and behold, there's price elasticity. And the market doesn't react the same way because the price goes up. Gas prices, I mean, you can take your pick with whatever the commodity is. Fair enough. So when we talk about, we are not going to do until, that I would think presupposes a certain set of conditions being present at that time. Fair?
Yes and no. Normally, the answer to that would be yes. Now, and I forgot his name, but I believe he's the Fed chairman of at Philadelphia has been in absolute opposition to what they're doing. Lacker, I think, is his name. But what they have, in essence, done is said, okay, we are going to pledge to keep rates at virtual zero.
Yeah, subterranean. Yeah.
And we're talking about the short-term rates. That's the ones that, you know, that's bankers deal with. At zero, well, the last meeting they said, or a year, yeah, 6 months ago, they said, we're going to keep it there until 2013. Now they've pledged to keep it there through 2014. And there's two, which means that we can expect short-term rates to remain low through 2015. Now, the other thing they do is they issue this pledge corporately. I mean, they vote on it and they issue this official policy statement, but then they go and they interview and do a survey of all the individual board members as to when do they think rates are going to go up and by how much. And interestingly enough, 6 months ago, most of them, the majority of them, thought it would go up before 2013, which was the date they had pledged to keep them down. You know, so there's a disconnect between what they're saying and what they're predicting as individuals. Now, they've extended this out through, actually, I think even 2015. Yeah, 2015. And individual surveys are now, the majority of them believe it's going to stay low until 2015. So this pledge is new for the Fed.
So routinely, we would think that that's a good idea. Positive news. Things would go through the roof. I would tend to think, though, that this is being done in the back with the backdrop of certain economic conditions that preclude the rate from going up because it would tank whatever economic viability was existing at that time.
That's the anomaly. You've hit it on the nail. Now, the other thing they've done is they've said, what is the criteria in which they would raise rates? Because right now at zero, they've got their foot on the accelerator all the way. They can't push it down any further unless they do some unprecedented things. And I've got a list of those here that we can go through later. But right now they've got the accelerator pushed down all the way. You wrote something. I can't read it.
That's all right. It'll be humorous as all get out during the break. But we'll just have to wait for the rest of it until we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, is 3:19.
What is this?
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24, and we're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Dalby. I don't know why I wrote Aaron's name down on this thing.
Okay.
Boy, has he had a career change since last we talked.
Yeah, there goes all the radios getting turned off. Yeah. People swerving off the road.
So with the concept here, John, of the pledges that the Federal Reserve will hold and will run down a certain trail and won't deviate. And pretty much, aren't they saying that they're not necessary? And that external forces have to occur before anything happens, and until those do, we'll just kind of focus on other stuff that really doesn't pertain?
Au contraire.
A little French, huh?
Yeah, au contraire. No, actually what they're saying is the economy is not recovering. The recovery is slowing, and they understand that there is so much uncertainty out there as to where we're going economically that they're trying to give some stability by saying rates, short-term rates are going to remain low through 2015, i.e. Mr. Businessman, you can count on rates being at these levels through this period of time if you want to invest in, you know, equipment and, you know, expansion and so forth.
That's great on that end, but Mr. Businessman comes to Mr. Banker Dude, and Mr. Banker Dude is under these heightened federal regulations and requirements for additional collateral. Mr. Bankerman.
That's not true.
Is that not? Then
that is not true.
Then why do we keep hearing ongoing discussions about credit not being as available as it was in the past, so the businesses cannot do some of these things?
Once again, au contraire. It's the exact opposite. There is more money available now than there has been for a long time. Now, there's a lot of money
available versus being lent.
Correct. But the regulations have not made it harder to lend money. It has made it more expensive. We now have to spend more money in compliance with additional rules that are coming online, and they are still coming. And you're going to see a lot of community banks disappear because they have to absorb all of these costs with a smaller mass, if you want to call it, as opposed to the big banks. So you're going to see a lot of banks struggle because of that, the smaller ones.
Okay, so how about if I do a little bit of logic here? If it's harder, it's more expensive, which means it's harder for somebody to accept the risk because of that increased cost. Less apt to occur, job creation.
No.
Am I looking at the wrong side of the coin?
You are.
Okay.
Banks are lending money, period. They want to lend money. There are very few opportunities to lend money because businesses are not expanding. They're not building new buildings. They're not buying new equipment.
Because?
They're uncertain about the future. And so you have money sitting on the sidelines. You have a lot of businesses with a lot of cash waiting to see what happens, especially the big boys. So once we get past, the uncertainty and they have some confidence in the economy, you'll see some of this money come to play. Now, that's my point about the Federal Reserve, is trying to create certainty in an uncertain. But they've also said, these are our targets. Their target is between 1.5% and 2% inflation. We're there. And
other than gas.
Well, yeah. Understood. But really, they're looking at they use a whole different interpretation of
that. So gas isn't factored into inflation anymore, is it?
In some, it is not correct.
Okay.
In some of the indices, it is not. I lost my train of thought.
So what are the primary areas of uncertainty that is holding back the economy?
Before we get there, the two things
back to you, huh?
I know there are two things that they're focusing in on. One is inflation. We're there. That's okay. The other is unemployment. And one of their big fears. They have two big fears. One of them is long-term unemployment. Let me explain that. If you were to go to France in the afternoon and go to a coffee shop, you'll find it is full of middle-aged and older gentlemen. These are people that lost jobs, and once you lose a job and are unemployed for several years, it's very, very difficult to get a job. So you end up being permanently unemployed.
Almost a class.
Correct. And now we've had so much unemployment for so long, they're afraid we're going to get this large group of people that nobody will hire because they've been unemployed for so long.
You could argue that does exist here.
It would be bigger.
Government dependencies.
And so that is one of the fears of the Federal Reserve Board, and that is why they're targeting so hard on unemployment.
So if that... Oh, man, you took it all the way up to 10 seconds. Not fair.
We'll be back.
Can I get a mulligan?
We'll be back.
Yes, we will. It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Bank Dude, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. John, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the different things that are going on and that the Federal Reserve Board was anxious about two elements, inflation being one, employment or unemployment being the other.
Correct. Those are their targets.
And I suppose the, not contrarian me, but let's call it the conspiracy guy in me, is looking at unemployment, knowing that it's been redefined two or three times. So we're looking at this, and if they're going to be predicating their certain activities or their goals and then springing off at a fork in the road based on unemployment figures, I guess I kind of have a question mark. Is it the unemployment we know of today? Is it unemployment from 1980? What definition of unemployment are we talking about? Because if these guys really are, and I presume that they are, truly independent of an administration, things start to change, and maybe they act and maybe they don't act.
Well, first of all, they've said that even if we hit the targets, you know, so your question is how do you measure the unemployment target? Keep in mind, these are not stupid people, so they understand that, yes, unemployment went down from...
stupid people like me right. trying to figure out what's going on or
unemployment dropped below 8%. But we all know that unemployment is still far worse than it has been historically for a long time. It's just that now we have fewer people looking for jobs.
We've taken disenfranchised.
Right. Yeah. So and that's a bigger problem than if unemployment was high. Because now you're looking towards that long-term unemployed person, and that will be permanently dependent upon the government for their livelihood. So you have that issue. And then two, you have one of the other targets they have is the industry, sector of residential real estate and housing. Housing generally has led us out of the recession, yet it is the only sector that has not recovered. In fact, it is extremely low if you look at the charts of the sectors and how they've done in this recession. Everything else is virtually recovered or near recovered, but housing went down and stayed there. And generally
driven by foreclosures or lack of consumer confidence?
Well, what you have is too much inventory, and so you don't have consumer confidence, so you have no construction. That's why they're keeping the three things they've done is they have the zero rate pledge out through 2015. They've extended, they now have started QE3, which means they're pouring money into the system at $50 billion a month, and there is no end to the program.
With the end game of that being?
To try and stimulate more commerce. The third thing that they're doing...
Give me $50 billion. Yeah. I'll stimulate it like nobody's business.
The third thing they're doing is they're extending the TWIST program to keep mortgage rates low. And we should see mortgage rates low and maybe even decline over the rest of this year.
They decline. What kind of margin is there in there for profit unless it's all variable?
The government is buying the mortgage-backed securities, which means they're taking the interest rate risk. Not the originating.
So doesn't that compound a problem that has become overwhelming at the federal level?
It compounds a lot of things, as does QE3. Now the question is, if this doesn't work, what will they do?
Cayman Islands? Jamaica?
They can do the following things. One is they can actually, you know, right now, banks with their excess deposits put it in the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve pays them roughly 22 basis points. So it's almost zero. Okay. They can go to zero. In fact, they can even limit then how much you can put into Fed funds. By doing so, they're going to force banks to invest in either treasuries, you know, somewhere else.
Elsewhere, yeah.
You know, they can't make them make loans because there isn't the loan demand. So, but it'll force them to put that money out and get it working. So that's one of the things they can do. They can further extend twist and continue to keep mortgage rates low. And then there's talk of even a QE4. And QE stands for quantitative easing. I don't know if you're, you know, we basically means printing money and putting it into the system.
Yeah, ergo the inflation, right?
Well, yeah, people worry about hyperinflation because of all the quantitative easing. And that's a whole nother, that'd be an hour discussion just on how that doesn't happen. But I'm not too worried about runaway inflation right now.
So if, let's say, instead of 22 basis points, let's say it's 6. So you, any surplus, you're not sending to the feds. Okay, fine. You're not buying this stuff up. Where would you invest? Where would Redwood Capital go to safely put those surplus funds in a semi-liquid state to be able to generate some kind of a return for your investors or just to keep pace with inflation in our area? Or would it stay in our area versus investing somewhere out of town, out of state, out of country?
Virtually every bank in the country is trying to answer that question, trying to find places to put, to park excess funds, keeping it liquid, and getting a return greater than 22 basis points. Believe me, every boardroom, every management team of bankers is looking for the answer to that question.
Are there opportunities out there?
Other than buying treasuries, taking interest rate risk, the problem is you're investing at the low end of the market in fixed term securities, which means there's a great deal of risk. When rates go up, those investment values are going to go down.
What is an acceptable risk legally?
Legally?
I would imagine if I promise you guys 25% return, somebody is going to go, you know, there should have been a red flag on this one and flares. It's way too high. So what? At what point is it still attractive but not something that is going to be very risk-laden?
Well, you're simplifying it. We manage bank. What banks do is we manage risk. We manage interest rate risk. We manage credit risk. We manage capital risk, liquidity risk, geographic risk. We, you know, all of these things, reputational risk. All of this stuff goes in, and we monitor all of these different risk factors. So when you say, what's an acceptable risk? Well, you have to look at the composite of the entire institution. So maybe they take a little more credit risk, but less interest rate risk. Okay, now you have to offset that and say which is worse. and so every bank has to do things differently. If you take more credit risk, then you have to have more capital to offset it. You have to have more in provision. So, you know, to say what's acceptable risk, you know, there, I can't really answer that question. It all depends.
But you know the beauty? Took you 2.5 minutes to say that, so that's grand. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. Plus a little background. Okay, we got a little lesson there. You got somebody's letterhead there. We're going to have to check that out during the break. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:48, final couple minutes this afternoon with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby. John, looking at the Federal Reserve Board, some of the discussions they've had, some of the anticipated moves or lack thereof, what is the bottom line for most of us?
First of all, you can expect residential mortgages rates to stay low at least through the end of the year, probably the first quarter of next year.
So if you're in a fixed, what's the magic number to refi right now?
Well, it depends on what your current rate is.
Well, yeah, you at what generally point does it make sense?
Between, you want to say between half and a full percent to make it worthwhile, but, you know, circumstances change, you know, and how, you know, is it a house you're going to pay off soon, you're going to sell, how long are you going to live in the house, you got to ask
all
a lot
normals,
of questions,
yeah.
Right? But, you know, your mortgage originator can help you with that. That's the first thing. Two is, you know, with pretty good certainty, the prime rate's not going to go up between now and the end of 2015.
Good news across the board?
That's good news for businesses. It means your lines of credit.
Consumers?
Yes, and consumers. It means home equity loans will remain low and probably consumer credit costs will be relatively low.
Food costs?
Except for credit cards. Food costs are going to... credit cards will remain high, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Food costs are going to be high because of fuel costs. I mean, you know, California, look at what we're paying now for a gallon of gas, and that's going to reflect in all of your commodities.
That's the thing that in this discussion, and I call them hidden taxes, because everybody, food cost, transportation costs, fuel costs. Was there any discussion at all that they've had towards these or to try to encourage oil producers to be able to produce more product?
Energy. The number one thing we can do to salvage our economy is energy independence. It'll add about 2.5% to the GDP growth.
Well, it triples where we are.
That's correct.
Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow.